iTunes International, virus-free.
Around the world and down your street.
This is Bondi Tunes International broadcasting around the world. I'm Henry in Sydney, Australia. I'm joined by our correspondent from Melbourne, Melissa Greemer, but she's not in Melbourne. Melissa, where are you?
I'm in Townsville this time, Henry.
I've been to Townsville. It's a funny little town, isn't it?
It is indeed.
I just want our listeners to know that we're having connection problems. I'll blame Townsville for that. Melissa, how have you been? I just want to explain to our listeners that, you know, you normally live in Melbourne, and then you went to New Zealand, and then you went to Magnetic Island off the coast.
The Gold Coast first.
The Gold Coast, and then Magnetic Island, and now you're in sunny, leafy Townsville. Do you have any chance of getting back to Melbourne anytime soon, or do you want to?
I can now go home to Melbourne anytime. I came up to Townsville and went to Magnetic Island as well, because at that stage, the Gold Coast had gone into a lockdown. And even though Melbourne was in lockdown, they required me to do 14 days home quarantine, which I didn't want to do. So I don't have to quarantine if I go home. However, the situation at home is pretty dire. My friends and work colleagues are all having, you know, they're all struggling with lockdown.
Yes.
And I don't want to go home and struggle either. So, you know, I'm sitting here in Townsville plotting my next move.
It's interesting how this is affecting people. And you're able to work wherever you go, and that must be a big plus for you.
I am, and I'm not able to work. The thing is, I'm customer facing in my job as a salesperson.
Yes.
And so I should be out seeing customers, but while we're in lockdown, no one can go out and do anything. So I figure at the moment I can work wherever, because all my colleagues are working from home. So waiting for the lockdown to be lifted has made things hard to plan, because I'm paying for accommodation. I can't get a monthly rate, because if the lockdown lifts, I need to be ready to go home at a moment's notice. So, you're kind of playing it by ear.
Where's the situation with the state of Victoria? Because as we know, they keep changing the goalposts. What's the lockdown situation as we record in Melbourne and in Victoria in general? When is the lockdown being lifted?
The lockdown was set to go until the 2nd of September, and that had been extended. So it went from 2 weeks to 4 weeks, I believe.
Yeah.
And Dan Andrews said yesterday it's being extended and it won't finish on the 2nd, which is this Thursday. And so now everyone's waiting, and they should make an announcement tomorrow on the extension. There are a lot of rumours running rife about when that's going to happen. Many people believe that we're in this for all of September. Some people are thinking it's September and October. It's quite frightening. I don't know how long people have it left in them. Everyone's just grinning and bearing and getting on with it. But I know it's really tough.
Here in Bondi in Sydney, there's a sense of chaos actually in the air. We are on severe lockdown, as you know. In New South Wales, we are the worst. We have the worst situation in the whole of Australia, this state of New South Wales. And it's very strange. We can't go out after 9 p.m. I know, living in Melbourne, you guys are used to that. It's the first time it's happened in New South Wales, and we have a massive cases each day keep going up, you know. And it's kind of scary, the atmosphere. Look, I want to just bring in, because I know we've got a bad line, I just want to talk for a minute about Craig Kelly, which you brought this to my attention. Craig Kelly, who's a member of the Australian Parliament, and he quotes the TGA, which is the Therapeutic Goods Administration, and this is regarding the long-term effects of vaccination. Here's what he had to say.
Let's be absolutely clear about this. The New South Wales Premier, Berejiklian, and her health minister Hazard, with New South Wales Parliament suspended, are engaging in conduct which is a violation and abuse of human rights. The coercion and the bullying of Australians to undergo any type of medical intervention is a violation of human rights and a violation of the principles of Australia's international human rights obligations. Domestic passports are a violation of human rights. And yet we stand here in this parliament today with medical apartheid being enforced across the nation. Submit or you'll never get your freedoms back. You'll be excluded from society, denied the freedom to travel, denied access to our beaches, denied access to our national parks. This should outrage every single one of us. Also, you'll be prevented from opening your business. We will deny you the freedom to earn a living. You will lose your job. You'll lose your family home unless you submit to taking a medical intervention. I will quote directly from the TGA's recent report dated July 2021. I go to this, page 30 of 37, and it talks about Pfizer's application. And it says, and I quote, "The submitted data has the following limitations. The long-term safety is not known." But it's even worse than that. It goes on, and they admit here, they say the VE, which is the vaccine efficacy, against variants of concern, which of course of Delta, has not been assessed. The TGA's own documents.
Okay, Melissa, the answer is he doesn't know. I mean, they don't know, sorry.
Yes, they don't know. And I don't know what's happening with you in the circles that you move in, Henry, but...
I can't move in any circles, Melissa. Yeah. I can't even get out of the friggin' house.
Well, no, that's true. None of us can, but I'm
You're talking metaphorically,
asked,
I understand.
Yes. Yeah. I'm getting asked on a daily basis whether I've had the vax or people just assume I've had the vax. Mm. I was really taken aback on Friday because I was talking to someone that I work with, and I don't know this person very well. I've had very little to do with them apart from sending them messages across Microsoft Teams when I've had to engage with them. And they came back out and asked me, had I been vaccinated and when I was planning on getting vaccinated. And
it's
I found
none of
that
our business.
Well, I'm not asking you about your medical history, am I? And then I've got other people going, oh, you've been vaccinated, right? And just assuming I've been vaccinated. Mm-hmm. I have a friend that lives in Queensland, and she invited me to come and stay with her knowing my situation. But she said to me, have you been vaxxed? And if you haven't, maybe you can get vaxxed in Townsville before you come. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to see her. it's her house and that's fine. But I don't know why you would need me to be vaccinated when I've been away from Victoria for 6 weeks and I'm in the same areas as you and I've not been exposed. I found that so interesting. So I'm getting a lot of pressure from people that I don't even know about the vaccination. Now, talking about the TGA not knowing what the long-term effects are, that is scary. My younger brother went to the doctor. And he is 35, and he spoke to the doctor about what his choices were, and the doctor said, given our family history of heart disease and diabetes, she didn't recommend the Pfizer to him, which I found very interesting.
That's very interesting indeed, and kind of scary when you think about it.
Well, it is. I mean, are people having this discussion before they go and get the jab? And then she recommended him going on the AstraZeneca. So, I think when they don't know what the long-term effects are, but we're all being, like, forced into having it, it scares me.
Just to explain, here in Australia, we are being forced in a way, because the government say, oh, we're never going to make you get vaccinated. But what they're doing is that any premises you go to, they're being under pressure to say, oh, you can't come in because you're not vaccinated. Now, this is separatist stuff, isn't it, Melissa?
Oh, definitely. And, you know, when you hear that They've got documents saying we don't know what the long-term effects are. I've got a question how people can make you go and get something done for yourself.
It's, you know what it is? It's herd mentality. Now, that's different from herd, the other term, immunity or whatever it is. It's yes. The mentality of going with the masses. I actually have people on social media asking me if I've been vaccinated. And I'm thinking, I'm not going to answer this question anymore. I have friends who I've known for 30 years who are pushing me to get vaxxed. And I now have a blanket situation, answer, I should say, to these people. I don't talk about my medical condition to anyone.
Yeah, and I had a debate with this. Well, no, I had a discussion with someone at work about what my answer was going to be. And I was thinking to say to people, "Oh, I've made an appointment."
Yeah.
But I don't even think I should go that far. Do you know how many people have told me to get vaccinated in Townsville while I'm here? And yeah. I said to one person, "Why should I take a vaccine away from someone in the community who might need it more than me?"
That's a good call. I didn't think of it that way. So. In Townsville, do you actually know anyone there, or you're getting all these calls to get vaccinated from people everywhere, I guess?
Yes, I am. I don't know anyone in Townsville. Like, I've met a couple of people out at bars and we've had chats, but I haven't discussed the vaccine with them. I did my diving course.
Oh, yes.
And so, you know, I met some people who work for the dive shop. And when we were going out to do the dive, so it's really funny because one gentleman who's a local from Townsville, he is certain that the Delta can't survive here because it's come here and no one's transmitted it. And I think that's really funny that they think that Townsville and Cairns are, like, you know, immune from Delta and yes. things like that. I have to remind them that India is also a hot climate, and it was rife there, right?
I see yes. where you were going with that, because, of course, just for our international audience, it is the further north you go into Queensland, the hotter it gets, even in winter. And I'm not sure what the temperature is there now, but you make
26.
What is it?
26 degrees.
26. That's not too bad for winter. It often gets hotter, even in winter. You referenced countries like Israel and India and even Indonesia. It doesn't matter how hot it is, does it?
No, it doesn't. And, you know, Israel, I believe, has a high vaccination rate.
They do.
And yet it hasn't changed the deaths and the rate of transmission.
No, they're going for a third dose in Israel. Because they realised, even, I think about 80% of their population has been vaccinated, double dosed, if you like. And now they're going, oh my God, the cases are rising again. So they've got a third dose. So you have to question the effectiveness of the first two doses.
Yes, and I've got a friend who's currently in Azerbaijan, and she's had two doses, and she has been bedridden with COVID for the past 10 days.
Really? And that's after the two doses?
Yes. And she's from New Zealand, so she got her two doses in New Zealand before she went to Azerbaijan. So, she got a diagnosis. They sent her home, and she's just been in bed trying to deal with it for the last 2 weeks. So she's been very, very tired.
Azerbaijan, what's the COVID situation there? And is she safe?
Look, I can only go by the discussions that we have and the things I see on social media. And, you know, she's been out and about living life like normal from what I can see. And, I mean, they had a Grand Prix there recently, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
So, yeah, I'm not sure about the statistics and how high it is. But to date, she's just looked like life's been normal. So, yeah.
Gosh, I just want to do an air check here. This is Bondi Tunes International. I'm Henry in Sydney, Australia. I'm talking with Melissa Greamer in Queensland in the town of Townsville. So the situation now is, like, when you watch Australian commercial television news. I'm not sure if you do that or not. Do you get a sense that that it's kind of one-sided?
Oh, I'm just over the propaganda.
I can't watch it anymore. I can read the news, but I can't watch it on television anymore. I'm just over it.
I've really noticed a change in the narrative when they deliver the news. So now when they talk about cases and hospitalizations and deaths, they refer to the amount of people who have it that are vaccinated and who aren't vaccinated, and the people that have died. Well, this person, the six deaths today were unvaccinated, and one person had only had their first vax, right?
Yeah.
So they're really pushing it on the in the media. Every television personality has an opinion on it, and it's all and get it done.
And let's talk about the ABC, because they're no better.
I hadn't noticed that on the ABC, Henry. Is it the same?
Basically, yeah.
Who's paying these people? Like, I want to know what and who is driving this.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of people are asking the same question. I just want to take a break from this for a sec and talk about this diving thing that you're doing in Townsville.
Yes.
What brought you up to doing that?
Okay, so I had got my open water dive certificate many, many years ago, and I've done some recreational scuba diving in Malaysia and Egypt, and I'd always wanted to do my advanced open water. And for whatever reason over the years, it didn't happen. It was probably to do with money, because diving's not a cheap hobby.
No,
and
it's not.
So, I reconnected with a guy I was dating last year, and he'd gone to Townsville to do some diving. And I know that we talked about diving when we were together last year, and I was like, that's something I want to get back into. And then I went to a party, and my friend's brother is a dive instructor in Melbourne, and he's originally from the UK, so we were chatting. And then I was supposed to go and dive in WA in June, but of course we went into lockdown, so that wasn't possible. So when I was in the Gold Coast and lockdown, we got out of lockdown, I didn't want to go home for the 14 days quarantine. So I got in touch with my friend and said, how was the diving in Townsville? Got on the phone, made some inquiries, and then I came up here to get my open water. I wanted to do it in Cairns, but Cairns had been in a three-day lockdown, but they also don't have a lot of dive courses going on because there's not a lot of backpackers, and Cairns is the traditional place in Australia to get it done because it's the, you know, gateway to the Great Barrier Reef.
Yes, of course.
So, yeah. So, anyway, I was really lucky that I was able to find a company that would take me to do it. But it's taken me some time to get it done because it's weather and people dependent, right? So the course got cancelled. And then we went out one day and the water was too rough that we couldn't go under. And then lucky that I have been hanging around Townsville because I eventually got it done. So it took me about 2 weeks when it should have taken me 2 days. Gosh. But yeah, it's been amazing. So I feel very, very lucky that I have been able to go and do something like fun and interesting.
Yes. Get your mind off the whole thing, eh?
I feel a little bit guilty in some sense because no one else, none of my friends are all doing it really tough. But yeah.
But don't feel guilty, for goodness sake. Do you miss Melbourne? You know, it's interesting because just to explain to our listeners, you're actually from Western Sydney, but you moved to Victoria, the state of Victoria and Melbourne. You've been there, I'm not sure how long, quite a while?
What are we coming to? 9 years.
Oh, my God, really?
Yes.
So, you know, obviously you miss your friends, but do you miss, like, Melbourne? you said earlier on in our conversation you can go back there, but things could change at any time, could they not?
Yes, I'm quite triggered by the word lockdown, I've discovered. Because Melbourne's lockdown was extended, it was extended when I was on a week off. And I logged back into my work computer last week and I noticed that we had, you know, lockdown meetings in the diary, you know, weekly lockdown catch up and then lockdown show and tell. And
don't you hate it? It gets into your head.
Well, it does. The lockdown show and tell, and they're doing something on a Friday night because they want to make it fun and keep people engaged because they're all stuck in their houses, right?
I hate that stuff.
Monday Tunes International, virus free.
Around the world and down your street.
The word lockdown is quite triggering for me. So when I saw the word lockdown on the meetings, I wanted to email, you know, the managers and say, can you not use the word lockdown? It's too much. And the thought of going home and sitting in my apartment and going back to Groundhog Day is really too much for me.
You know, I just asked you, you know, do you miss Melbourne as a city? But you see, the thing is, Melbourne is about your friends and you can't see them. So I guess you don't miss Melbourne because you can't see anyone in Melbourne.
Well, there's a lot of things about Melbourne that I miss, but all those things that I miss are not available in lockdown. You know, I'm quite over the food in Townsville, to be honest. Every single restaurant basically serves the same meals. And I would really love some variety right now.
You love your food, don't you, Melissa?
I do love my food, but I'm my options are like fish and chips, steak and chips, burger and chips.
But that's such country town stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
The RSL has the same stuff everywhere, you know.
But, I mean, if I go home, I'm not going home to do anything. I'm going home to live in a box.
Yep. And just to explain, you don't have a balcony, you don't have a back garden, and you don't really know anyone in that apartment block that you live in. Is that right?
I know my neighbours, but my neighbours are all single women, 60 and above. So,
Actually, Melissa, tell me about, I know that you own an apartment in Melbourne near a university. How is that going? Because you were renting that out. Are you still able to rent that out to anyone?
Yes, it stayed empty last year for about 5 or 6 months. I have a tenant in it now. I don't know if he's still working. I'm hoping that he is because he's a gardener. And I don't know how he's going, actually. He's in there until November. So come November, I guess we watch this space and see what happens.
It must be kind of stressful if you don't have a tenant in there because you've got to pay the mortgage.
Yes, and that was okay to do when we were in COVID because I wasn't going out, you know, but it's a bit of a difference. It's a bit of a different story now. And, you know, I'm away and I'm paying money for accommodation at the moment.
I was going to ask you, Melissa, how much is this? I mean, you don't have to tell me a figure, but how much roughly is this costing to be away from your home?
So, look, when I went to New Zealand, I mostly stayed with friends. And the one time I did rent something out, I'd done it from a previous paycheck before I went over there. So that covered that. And then when I went to the Gold Coast, I was able to get, I stayed in two different accommodations. And the first one cost me about $600 for a week. And the second one was $400 for a week. And they were on special because it was low season. And then the second one was on a super deal because it was lockdown. Like I got it for $460 and it should have been $2,100 or something ridiculous, right?
Wow.
So I was really lucky. Then I came to Townsville and Magnetic Island and things aren't cheap here. So I've been paying around $125 a night.
Jesus.
Which, you know, if you're on holidays, that's okay. But I'm paying that just to stay out of Melbourne.
Is there any alternative to paying $125 a night? What about Airbnb and that kind of thing? Or is that still a thing?
I'm currently in an Airbnb and it's costing me $1,000 for
It's more expensive. And you can't actually sign a, as you said earlier on in this broadcast, you can't actually sign a contract for 6 months because you don't know where you're going to be in 3 days kind of thing.
Well, no, but the thing is as well, you can get monthly rentals, which takes the cost down, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't know that I was going to be here for a month because I'm waiting to see what happens with lockdown.
Yeah.
So it's a game of just sitting and waiting. But I have a friend.
Yeah, sorry.
Who's an ex-tool leader. He lives in Darwin, and he's offered me to stay at his house in his spare room.
Oh.
Why this goes on. So that's something I'm considering.
That's an option. And is he a good friend?
Look, I find this guy very, very generous. We were tour leaders together, like I was with Bruce, a long time ago. And I don't think I've seen him since 2005, I'll be completely honest with you.
No, the reason I ask if he's a good friend, it just concerns me if you're a single woman moving to a guy's house, you know, that sort of thing. I'm sure he's fine, but that's what I'd be thinking about, you know, safety and security, that kind of stuff.
He has a partner and...
That's a big difference.
But he also isn't into women.
Is he gay?
Yes.
Well, okay. Well, then you're safe. That's a given. Melissa is safe if she goes to Darwin. Have you been to Darwin before?
I have not been to Darwin before, but, you know, it's an interesting thing. Do I go and live with someone that I don't know? He's been very, very generous, and I can't believe this person's reached out to me over Facebook and said,
"The answer is yes. Yes, do it." Well, how much is that going to cost you? Not $129 a night.
Well, no, it'll cost me, you know, maybe $200 or $300 in an airfare one way.
Yeah.
And then I've got another friend up there in Darwin at the moment. And so, you know, if I don't like it or whatever, then I can always go back to Melbourne if I need to.
Wow.
You know.
What an amazing trip you're having. I mean, I think the last time we actually spoke to you, you were in...
The Gold Coast, I think.
So it was New Zealand in Wellington first and then the Gold Coast.
Yes.
And now you're in sunny, leafy Townsville. What do you think about the long-term effects of this pandemic? You know the way we keep having lockdowns extended in the states of New South Wales, even Tasmania and Victoria and also Queensland? I mean, they keep extending the lockdowns. What do you think? And I know you can't answer this, but I'm going to ask you the question anyway. What do you think? How long is this going to take?
Oh, Henry, I don't know. But today we had a meeting with my team, just an internal meeting for us to sit down and chew the fat. And, you know, people are struggling to get motivated to work. I look on the faces of my colleagues and they look sunken and hollow and they're tired and they've got nothing, right? Mm. And then I come in and here am I smiling with a bloody tan. Hey, guys, how are you all, right? I've got so much energy. And
I'll be doing my diving.
Yeah, I feel like myself, right? And I haven't felt like myself for a long time because me, I'm on the road traveling, doing whatever, being carefree, you know? I'm good like that. And it doesn't even bother me that I don't really know people here because I can keep myself occupied.
I noticed that, you know, obviously you're single, but you don't seem like a lonely person. And that's very important as we talk about mental health globally around the world, people who are stuck in their flats. And we've talked about this so many times over the last year, Melissa, but it's just a thing we've got to keep on talking about because these people who are lonely and I don't know, do you call yourself lonely?
I don't think about myself that way. I mean, don't get me wrong. I go through periods where I feel lonely.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that I've gotten used to that because the first time I went overseas, I was 17. And I remember I was living with my grandmother and I went to Malta with my nunna from Australia and then I was working there and I really missed my girlfriends, right? And I missed having good friends. Mm. But I got used to my own company from an early age. So I am used to living alone and being by myself in overseas and things like that. So, you know, it's made me resilient. But I know that if I went home and sat in my apartment on my own, yes, I would feel very, very lonely.
Yeah, interesting. And just to remind our listeners or maybe new listeners to this radio show, You have had a very interesting life in Asia specifically, I think, as a tour guide. And I think, you know, if you're doing a job like that, you're away from home a lot. So this probably isn't as difficult for you because you're used to being away from home. I could
hear this sound. With 21 correspondents in 7 countries from around the world, this is Bondi Tunes International.
I want to talk about families. Here in Australia, there's talk about, you know, I think the Brad Hazzard, who's the New South Wales Health Minister, has said, you know, if you're homeschooling children, well, you know, no excuse to do whatever you want. You can't go out, you can't go to work, kind of thing. And, you know, I was just talking to someone about this today. If you're in that situation, you're trying to work from home and you have school children trying to do school from home, surely that must be a chaotic atmosphere.
Definitely, and it depends on the school age children as well.
Teenagers.
Actually,
I don't know which is worse. I've never had children, so I don't know. Children who are preteens or teenagers, which do you reckon would be the more volatile or the ones that you'd need to give more attention to, I guess, at home?
Okay, so it's harder to keep younger kids entertained, especially when you go for a walk and you walk past the park and the kids are used to playing on the playground equipment and they don't understand why suddenly they can't go. So that's very hard for parents with kids under the age of 5 and them not getting, having an understanding of why they can't play, right? But what we're finding this time around in Melbourne, I don't know about Sydney, but there's an increase of teenagers going to hospital for mental health reasons in this latest lockdown 6.
That's very interesting. Is that particularly Victoria or around the country?
It's Melbourne that I've heard it from. I don't know about Sydney, but because this is lockdown 6, yes. They've been talking about it on the news that there's an increase of teenagers being admitted to hospital for mental health issues.
And the helplines are being hammered at the moment, not just by that demographic age group, but by everyone.
Yes.
But it's interesting, your point about teenagers is very interesting because I always think, you know, I'm 59 years old. I always think about these kids, particularly late teens and early 20s. When you're that age, you want to get out and change the world. And they can't. And at that age, it's a bit like having a puppy that runs around the garden at 100 miles an hour, or my little cat who's young and runs around the house at 100 miles an hour. Children are like that too, particularly teenagers who are just beginning to experience adult life and early 20s. It must be driving them nuts.
Oh, look, there's a couple of things I want to say. You know, I speak to a broad range of people through work and different demographics and things like that. And what's happened for a lot of parents is that they've had to have their teenagers' partners over at the house. So ordinarily, there wouldn't be any sleepovers. But because of lockdown, they're having to make allowances. Mm. So I know one family, they've had to have the son is in year 12 studying for his last year of high school. And they've had to let his girlfriend move in because she's an international student and she hasn't been able to work during the pandemic and she had nowhere to live. So it was like, have her move in, which wasn't setting the right example to her younger kids, but the parents didn't really have a choice.
Very interesting.
Yes.
There's so many of these little micro stories coming out of this.
Oh, and then my colleague at work, his son's daughter lives with them half the time, then half the time the son goes to the girlfriend's house. And normally that stuff wouldn't fly in everyday life. So, you know, the pandemic has had to make parents a little bit more relaxed about the overnight stays.
A little more open about the whole thing.
Yes, yes, yes. Not under my roof. Well, you don't have a choice because they can't go anywhere else. I forget what the other thing I was going to say was. So I was speaking with a school today And their students are studying for their last year of high school. So you can imagine that that's the year that you really want to be social and go out and celebrate your last year of school.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have access to printers. And they've got to submit their coursework so it can be assessed. And because places like Officeworks and other stores are closed, they can't go in to use printing facilities.
Gosh, and that must be very difficult. Just to explain, the HSC is coming up soon, isn't it? Where are we?
Yes.
The end of August as we record. And the HSC, if you're listening in the UK, is equivalent to the A-levels. If you're listening in Ireland, it's the Leaving Cert. It's basically when you leave school and either go to college or don't go to college. The system, I think, from my own experience, is wrong for a start. Making people do an HSC based on 6 years of learning is rubbish, as far as I'm concerned. I failed miserably in this. Now, this is, despite all that, this is a crucial time for them. How would you feel if you're turning 18 and you're about to do your HSC and you haven't learned properly for the last year?
I think it would have benefited me, Henry, because when I was that age, I was illegally going to nightclubs and getting drunk and running bucks. So
of course you were.
I would have used it.
So it didn't make any difference.
Better than I would have. No, but that's me. You know, that's me. But imagine not going to have your formal or being able to dance or do any of that stuff.
Yeah. Not being the prom queen. Oh, sorry, that's American. What do they call it here? They have another word.
We don't have it. We don't do. No, we have a formal, but we don't have a king and queen. Yes.
So that's the end of school, right? The formal.
Yeah. I'll tell you a funny story, Henry, because I'm so rebellious.
Go on.
We used to have a year 10 formal and then a year 12 formal, right? So previously you had the choice to finish at year 10 and then go on to year 11 and 12.
Yes.
So we're talking 1991 when I was in year 10. And our school didn't let us have a year 10 formal.
Oh.
And so my friend and I organized one behind the school's back. And when I think back about that now, can't believe we pulled it off. I literally hired a hall and did the whole sit-down three-course dinner, hired a band, had entertainment, right? And
you hired a hall? What age were you?
I was 15. Or
you
16,
hired
15.
A hall?
I was 15. I hired off function hall. We had, I think, 100 people. I had invitations, right? I raised money. I charged people cash to come, right? We had this whole formal, and not one single teacher was in attendance or was there an adult present.
Oh, did they know it was going on?
They caught wind of it and they sent letters out to parents to warn them. But they only got through half the alphabet and they didn't do it with everyone else. And I had my mother come to the hall just to stand there in case any parents arced up. But she left. My only stipulation was no one was allowed to get drunk because the hall had said you're all underage. Because we were all 15 and 16 years old.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well,
this whole formal.
Your mum, she was all for this?
Listen, my mum just... I don't think she could really say much to me, you know.
Yeah.
My mum's English. She doesn't like confrontation.
No, that's so terribly British.
Yeah, yes, 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 yes. And I was a bit of a rebel, you know. But yeah, we pulled it off and there was no alcohol involved. And I think about that now at my age and I'm like, gee, I was ballsy to pull that off.
Yeah, but you see, you're in sales now. And
yes.
And that's just so typical. I mean, I'm a salesperson as well. And it's people who are just a bit out there and do dangerous things. Because you have to. You know the pressure of being a salesperson.
Totally.
It's all about the numbers, how much money you're making for the company. The salespeople of a company are paying for everyone else in the company, like admin and all that sort of stuff.
And my sales are down in August. Thank you, COVID.
Yeah, I just want to ask you briefly about this. You normally drive around in your company car before COVID and meet your clients. How does, like, what do you actually do now that you can't go and visit your clients? Do you just have online meetings with them? Are you still selling stuff or how does that work?
I mean, you're always selling, but it's dependent on whether you do it obviously or not, right? And we're all different. For me, I'm very relationship focused with my customers, and but yeah, we're still selling. I have a new business meeting tomorrow, so I have a video meeting with a new company, so that will be over Microsoft Teams.
Yes.
I haven't done a lot of video calls, but my colleagues are doing it. I don't do the video calls because personally, when I speak to my my clients, a lot of them who are working from home are kind of over doing video calls for work, so I don't want to put that on them.
Yeah, interesting, right? Answer. Yes.
And also, you know, people now are like, they're blurring out their background, so you only see them and don't see their backgrounds. I think it's kind of invasive going into someone's house as well.
Yeah, and people are putting different pictures. I mean, you could be in front of, I don't know, a forest, because you can do that
with
Zoom.
My work colleague's on, you know, the Millennium Falcon from Star Wars. That's his background.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you could have the deck of the Starship Enterprise if you wanted.
Which is what I would do, but only the original Star Trek, I must say.
Yes, I'm not a fan of the new ones. But
is that right? Oh, you're just like me.
Love Captain Kirk. That was amazing. Yeah?
Which one?
Do you know that was Captain Kirk?
With William Shatner, yes.
Shatner. But did you know that was the first interracial kiss on television? On American television?
Yes, I do, with Uhura. Uhura.
Yes.
Yeah, and you know, Gene Roddenberry, who oh gosh, we could get into a real geek session here. Gene Roddenberry pushed a lot of buttons there back in the 1960s because he had a Russian on there. You got to remember the Cold War was going on. Of course, what's his name?
Zulu. He was Japanese.
Yes, he was Japanese. Also,
and as we know now, very gay.
He's gay, yes. He didn't go that far, though. and he had a black woman, and these are all managers of the ship on the highest level.
Syndicated into Europe from Sydney, Australia, this is Bondi Tunes.
Bondi Tunes, playing all over the planet now. Henry O'Donovan.
It wouldn't be an interview with Melissa Gramer, our correspondent, if I didn't ask you, has there been any love in your life recently? And given that you are on the east coast of Australia, you did meet up with someone in Townsville, was it?
No, so I saw an expo when I was in New Zealand. And I had to put that to rest, so that was good. I got some closure there.
Right.
So,
that's what I was thinking. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I saw an ex, shall we say, lover, who I really had strong feelings for.
Mm.
So I was able to spend some good quality time with him in New Zealand. And, I got to put that chapter to rest.
Mm. Nothing there anymore in terms of relationships with him?
No, look, there's an attraction there. I think there always will be, but I'm very good with the fact that we're friends. Like, I got the closure that I needed, so that was good.
Mm-hmm. That's it really for you, isn't it? Because you're traveling so much.
So there's a guy that I've been seeing very, very casually prior to going to New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't tell him that I was going away because I don't need to, right? We're not an official item. But I had to go to Dan Murphy's, the bottle shop.
Yes.
Before I flew to New Zealand to buy my friends in New Zealand who are from Turkey some Turkish alcohol called Raki. So I walked into Dan Murphy's and who was at the bottle shop at the counter but the guy that I had been seeing very, very casually.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to tell him that I was, going overseas, which was news to him. And he's like, right, how long are you going for? I'm like, 2 weeks. And then there's been a lot of correspondence between the two of us, and I find that so odd because he never texts me when I'm in Melbourne. So that's amusing me, Henry.
That's very interesting when you think about it, Melissa, because he probably feels that he can do this when you're further away, but kind of doesn't want you to be too close to. Is that a fair enough thing to say?
I think so. I don't know how men work. Yes, but it's annoying me. No, but he kept messaging me.
Of course it's annoying.
Going, he kept messaging, like, when are you coming back? When are you coming back? You know, and then I just, like, I'm not. And, you know, then he'll message me and go, what's going on? What are you up to? And I'm left over here scratching my head. This is partly the reason why I'm single, because, I don't get men and I don't get these games. There was another gentleman that I was supposed to meet up with that I met on an online app. And because I went to New Zealand, I haven't had that chance. So we've been in constant contact the whole time. So I do have some options at home, but I did meet an English guy up here who's trying to get me into bed. So last night I was at a pub because I can do that here.
Oh, go figure, in Tansville you can go to a pub.
So I had Kevin on my left, who's English and moved here in March from the UK. That was a big move for him during COVID. He's 62 but looks 52. So he's been trying to get me into bed. He's known me for about 2 weeks since I've been in Townsville. And then I had another guy on the right of me who was trying his hardest as well, and he was in his 60s.
What's going on?
I had these two men on my – one on my right, one on my left, vying for my attention. But then they were having a conversation amongst themselves about how at their age they need Viagra to assist them. And I just thought, what are you guys doing?
I have to ask you, what happened that night in the club with the in between two 60 plus year old men?
Well, okay, so because I'd been diving, I'd had a couple of beers after my dive, and then I had some more at the pub, so I was a little bit tipsy. And despite these guys being in their 60s, I did take it as a compliment. I have an ego just like anyone else. Kevin, the 62 year old British guy, he was getting increasingly agitated at the attention that I was giving Ross,
the other guy,
which was to my right. And Ross was like, that guy really likes you, Melissa. Look, he's getting very angry. And I was like, yeah, well, he's got no ownership and no claim to me, so he can get as agitated as he likes. It's not going to change the situation. And then Kevin got annoyed and went home. And so then Ross was like, oh... This is what I didn't like. Ross called me a bitch.
What?
And I said, how are you calling me a bitch? He said, Melissa, you're a very attractive woman and you're very honest and open and you've got this great smile. You're a bitch because you know that you're attractive. And I went, hang on a second, no. I'm a very nice person. You can't call me a bitch because you think I'm attractive. I mean, that's not very fair.
But
do you think
these guys are in the 60s, right? Do you think that there's a certain ageism going on here where women were treated so differently back in the 70s and so on, where they still harbour that thing where the woman is not supposed to be strong-willed?
It's interesting because some I've found even men of that age, some of them are very put off by it and others are very attracted to it. So I met this guy in the Gold Coast and we were having drinks and he would have been in his 70s and he
Holy
said, Melissa,
moly.
I can see why you're single. It's because you're formidable and a lot of guys would be very intimidated by you. And I thought that was something that was very telling to come from, you know, some guy who was in his 70s.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it.
Fascinating.
Couldn't believe that
It really is fascinating. I'm just going to ask you, does it matter if you date someone in their 60s? Does age matter to you?
No, I mean, if you take Kevin, for example, he looks 52. Right, so he's doing quite well, but personality-wise, I'm not attracted to him at all. And he was actually talking like a baby. Like, he was getting very, very, like, he was acting like a kid who just throws the rattle out of the playpen because they're frustrated, right?
Yes,
he was getting annoyed because Ross was, you know, talking to me. And then I do think that sometimes these men are a bit delusional. Like Ross said, oh, Melissa, I'd really like to kiss you, you know. And I'm thinking, dude, look at you. Like, you know, like not to be a bitch, but Ross was probably older than 62. Ross was probably 68.
You're not Leonardo DiCaprio, right?
Well, he was probably 68 and he wasn't fit. He looked his age, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be frank with you right now.
Please do.
So he asked if he could kiss me, and I said, you can kiss me on the cheek and you can kiss me and he kissed me on the forehead. And he asked me to go back to his house with him.
Mm.
And I said, I'm not the type of girl that has one night stands. And he goes, no, I don't want to do that. Like, I can't do that anyway. Can't we just cuddle? I really miss holding someone. And I understand that. I'm single. I know what it's like to want to caress someone, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to go home with some random guy and do that.
No.
You know.
Does it matter? But does his age matter in terms of not going home with some random guy? Does that make a difference, his age?
I've got to be attracted to someone, but I've got to tell you, Henry, I'm in my mid-40s, right?
Mm.
To date, I haven't really been with a guy that's been in their 40s, even.
That's very interesting. Are they mostly older or younger?
No, younger. Like, I haven't...
Younger.
I've had 3 dates with one gentleman who was 52, and wow. I was 42 at the time, I think, and... like we made out, I didn't sleep with him, but he's probably the oldest guy I've kissed. All the guys that I tend to see, are generally like between the ages of 35 and 40, not even 40, 39.
Do you think, look, we've talked about this many times and we've got to go soon, but I love the way we go off in these trajectories, if that's a word. Do you find that, you know, that men are threatened by you?
Well, when I spoke to the gentleman in the Gold Coast, yes.
Even young men. The thing is, I love strong women. My girlfriend's a strong woman, you know. And she's taller than me. These are the things that men have a problem with, this stuff, you know. Okay, we got to go. I could talk to you all night. I just want to ask you one question that I ask every year, and it's becoming every year with this goddamn COVID thing. What do you think is going to happen at Christmas, Melissa Grima?
I don't know. I really don't.
Well, thank God you said that, because the politicians are bullshitting us about this.
I've got to ask you a question, Henry.
Yes, please. Oh, I forgot. You've got to interview me sometime. What question?
What if this is just our life from now on and we don't go back to how things were? Is anyone prepared for that?
That's a good question. Me, I am. You see, the thing is, I don't socialise very much anyway. I do 2 jobs from home. I'm not a lonely person. And
but what if you never get to travel again?
Oh, that would be a problem, especially for you, I imagine. Not that I'm trying to put it back on you, because you're a tour guide or where, and you're used to travelling around the whole planet. I think the only thing that would worry me with regard to travel is my family. You know, my stepmother is 83. My sisters are in their 60s. They live in the UK. And I just don't know when I can see flights happening again internationally. Pretty damn sure it's not going to happen before Christmas this year, probably well into 2022. But otherwise, I'm not hugely disturbed by this lockdown. In fact, in some ways, I kind of think it's okay, because I'm not overly social in the real world. I am obviously on social media and on radio, but not a huge thing for me. But what about you?
Yeah, I'm concerned, because we all want life to get back to normal, but what happens if that doesn't happen?
Well, it will happen, but it's going to be a new normal. I mean, we keep hearing this kind of thing, the new normal. And it's actually quite right. There will be a new normal. And God, you have no idea what's going to happen. We don't. None of us do. And I don't believe the politicians. And you're right. It is very, I feel insecure for the world, quite frankly, you know.
That's how I feel right now. And yeah. That's why part of me just wants to make the most of being away while I can. Like, I have no, the only reason why I would go home is if I had increased pressure from my boss to be able to go home for that, or because of the money situation. But right now, I'm experiencing freedom and life is normal. And we have not had that in Melbourne for 18 months.
I know, and we forget that in Sydney because it's been so more recent for us. You're from Sydney, and you've got family in Sydney?
Yes, I do.
Because I just referenced Christmas, and I don't know if Christmas... I think you told me that you don't have family Christmases or something.
I go home for Christmas every year. This could be the first time that I don't go to Sydney for Christmas.
Is that a big deal for you?
Look, you know what? I spent a long time overseas doing Christmases on my own. So
of course,
it's not a big deal. But if I was in Melbourne and I didn't have Christmas to spend with anyone, that might be hard.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay. Well, look, let's see what happens. As we record, it's right at the end of August. It's the 30th of August, 2021. Let's see what happens, in the next 4 months and see if we've got a Christmas or not. Melissa Greimer is our correspondent from Melbourne, but she's currently in Townsville in the state of Queensland. Thank you so much for joining me once again here on Bondi Tunes.
Thank you for having me, Henry.
This is Bondi Tunes International. This is Real Radio.
From Australia, this is Bondi Tunes.
Outside the rain begins, and it may never end. So cry no more on the shore, a dream will take us out to sea.
The sun never sets on Bondi Tunes.